I still am so thankful to live and have been born in the United States of America. Amen. We're getting ready to approach our, you know, July 4th, and I encourage you to come on the 2nd of July. That'll be a service that children are going to be doing, kind of patriotic in theme. And I think it's important that we not forget and always be thankful for what we take for granted every day of our lives as Americans, and that's the fact that we are a free people. Amen? Okay. Also then, just something funny. Out in the foyer, this is so sweet, in between services, actually it was before first service, I guess, little kids were out there sitting at a table selling stuff. And so I asked these little kids, I said, "So what are you selling?" And all this little girl just is so sweet. She just spoke up. She said, "Well, sir, we have a lot of stuff for you today." And she started out and she got to the bread. She said, "This is holy bread." And I said, "Wow, I've never seen holy bread." Her mom goes, "Whole wheat." She said, "It's whole wheat bread." I said, "I like holy. Holy sounds good." Anyhow, so that's too cute. Okay, Romans chapter 6. It just so happens that this weekend has been an air show weekend, and I'm a part of the Civil Air Patrol, so I was out there on Friday night. And, you know, those that have been around knows that I'm a pilot. I actually started the first service just talking about a couple things, only to realize that that's probably should have developed that a little bit further. But there is a law, it's a universal law, that we all know about. Every time you get on a scale, every time you get on a scale after you've eaten a lot of holy bread, or the holy cookies that are out there, there's a law that reads on a dial. What law would that be? Gravity, right? And that law is ever present. How many of you know it never goes away? Are you with me? Now, how many of you are fleshly? Raise your hand. Okay, that would be everybody. Let's all raise our hands. Okay, we're all fleshly. Are you with me? Okay. But how many of you are spiritual? Raise your hand. Okay. So those of you who are not fleshly nor spiritual, what are you? Let's find that out anyhow. Okay, so if you've become a Christian and you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and endeavored to make him Lord of your life, those two things, flesh and spirit, don't always agree, do they? In fact, they never agree. There's a lifetime that's spent of one overcoming the other, okay? Freedom. Freedom is, I think, whether people would articulate it this way or not, I think the core of all of life, the single most sought-after condition, is freedom. And most of the time, you might put that strictly in a political sense, but I'm putting it in a much broader sense. How many of you know there's a lot of things that people are a slave to? So there can be, on a political level, people can be can live a slave type of a life under a particular governmental system. But everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, "You're an everybody." There's things that hold all of us back. Would you agree with that? Based upon how we grew up, what we were told, doesn't matter the intention. You know, I thank God for the home that I grew up in. My wife grew up in a great home. But the truth is the home that we grew up in was not a perfect home. Not a one of us, right? So we got told things. I thank God for the school system that I grew up in. It was a public school system in a little rural community in eastern Colorado. 32 of us started class together and ended up together. I, you know, knew everybody virtually. And I thank God for all of that. But all of those things shaped me. Good, bad, or indifferent, they all shaped me. Are you with me, right? You had mentors growing up, you had coaches, you had, you know, all teachers, good, bad, indifferent. But the truth is that all the while we're growing up, we're influenced and we're shaped. And the truth of the matter is, because of the flesh, because of carnality, there's a universal law that never, ever goes away. And it's our life in Christ that allows us to come to the spot if we so choose. Everybody say, if we so choose. Because not everybody so chooses. But it's available. If we so choose, those universal negative laws in life can be overcome. Amen? How many of you have gotten on an airplane? Or let me ask it. I'm going to assume. If you've never flown in an airplane, commercial, small, whatever. If you've never flown in an airplane ever in your life, raise your hand. Okay, look at that. Not to point you out, sweetheart, but it's kind of hard not to miss it. Would you say that's 99%? Isn't that amazing? Did you know that when you went up in whatever airplane it is that you flew in, doesn't matter what powered it, whether it was a jet, propeller, doesn't matter, you overcame some laws that never go away, but you were free. Isn't that right? Aviation is made up of four principle laws. For an airplane to fly, and therefore for a person to be in that airplane to fly, to experience the freedom of flight. Because you see, freedom is not the absence of constraints. Let me say that again. Freedom is not the absence of constraints. In every way, shape, or form, freedom is not the absence of constraints. It's an acceptance of the right constraints to experience the freedom of whatever it may be. For instance, if a skydiver was up at 10,000 feet in the air over the Magic Valley here, over Twin Falls, well, we'd want to get him up higher than that. We'll get him up about 14,000 feet because our elevation here is about 4,100 feet. So let's get him 10,000 feet above ground level, AGL. What if that parachutist, skydiver, right before he jumped out of the airplane, said, you know what? I'm tired of the restraint of this parachute. And you know what? I am going to be totally free. Guess what? He would be, except for he wouldn't be. We actually would now become a slave to gravity and a grease spot. Are you with me? He wouldn't be totally free, but listen, our society tells us today, it's in vogue to try to get as free as you can, which means you can believe whatever you want, and you can, you know, okay, we are free to believe whatever we want, but the idea is that freedom somehow, the idea that many people have about freedom is that it's the absence of constraint. And I say not in any way. In fact, somebody outside of Christ or as a believer that wanted to experience total freedom of no restraint or no constraint, there's actually not a condition that exists. There's never a condition that would exist. Because the instant that somebody would throw off, let's say, moral constraints, that's in vogue today, throw off all moral constraints, right? There is no morality that holds true. How many of you know that once they do that, they have now become a slave to the fleshly desires of their own nature? Literally a slave to it. Scripture bears this out. Let's read Romans 6. Let's see. Okay. Verse 20 of Romans 5. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What shall we say then, verse 1 of 6? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Well, the answer to that question is, it's very easy to do that. How many of you know it's easy to live in the flesh? Very, very easy. Very easy to live in the flesh. Just let her rip. Right? Whatever it may be. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man that was crucified with him, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now listen, in the context of what we talked about, some principles in aviation, gravity reigns. It's a universal law, always there. It says here that who has died has been freed from sin. Now let me ask you a question. Does that mean sin is done away with? No, it's not done away with in the sense of, oh, in Christ, I've been freed from sin, therefore I don't have to worry about sinning ever again. It's not saying, now that I've become a Christian, I just don't ever need to worry about sin. Are you with me? Because the instant I stop staying alert, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sin. That's just, yeah, but you've been freed from sin. Oh, but wait a minute. Freedom does have constraints. Are you with me? The four laws. Two of the laws are negative. One of those is gravity. What goes up will come down. Either voluntarily or involuntarily. Once a pilot makes, you know, takeoff and landings, the only one you have an option on is takeoff. And once you exercise that to take off, you're now stuck. You have to land. In fact, not only will you have to land, you will land. Okay? So the other one is, who said it? Friction. It's actually called drag. Same idea. Air going over metal and all the different features of an airplane causes friction. Those are the two negative things. The two positive things are lift. Honey, you can't answer. You're not qualified. Well, you are. No, you just can't answer. Lift. So you have a thing called an airfoil. Creates a high pressure. It travels a further distance on the top side than it does the bottom side. Creates a pressure differential. That pressure differential causes the airplane to lift. Okay? What's the other one? Thrust. Okay, so gravity is overcome by lift. Drag is overcome by thrust. What's wild is the more thrust you have, the more drag you create. Okay? It's just that you exponentially overcome it. As long as I go up, so I've been cleared to take off runway. Our runway, by the way, now our magnetic deal has changed. Did you know that? They just changed the magnetic runway here within the last year at the airport. We used to take off runway 25 and runway 7. Now we take off runway 28 and 88. I still make it wrong. I've said it so many times. Yeah, cleared to take off runway 25, and they'll come back and they'll go, that would be 26, but that's okay. So anyhow, I'm cleared to take off. So I pull out on the runway. I make all the confirmations, and so now I'm on the ground. Gravity is reigning. Okay, it's supreme. The weight of that aircraft with two adults in it's going to be about 2,600, 2,700 pounds. It's winning. But I've got about 225 horsepower at my hand. I'm idling, and okay, I bring her up to about 2,000 RPM. I want to make sure that my brakes work. I release the brakes and push her to the metal, straight to the firewall. Give her everything she's got. Okay, so then we start picking up speed. I'm looking at my airspeed indicator. My airspeed indicator starts to become positive. I'm at 40 knots. Now I'm at 50 knots, and at 60 knots is when that aircraft is ready to maybe start its deal. But you can feel it already. All of a sudden, you can feel, instead of all of a sudden, you kind of can just feel that it's like, ooh. You look, confirm your speed, poof, you pull back just a little bit, and all of a sudden, poof, you're off the ground. Now, thrust has overcome drag, and lift now is stronger than gravity. So guess what? I get to be up in that airplane, and I can fly, I can soar, and if I could say it this way, I could be as free as a bird with an asterisk. The asterisk is, I always have to maintain more lift and thrust than drag and gravity. As long as I do that, I literally can be so free, it's incredible. Every time I go up, I just have to tell you, every time I go up, I thank God. Many times, just as a side note, I have my push to talk button. I pray every time before I go. I as soon as I do the run up, my run up's done, I switch from ground to tower. Right there is when I pray. And I always just, it doesn't matter who's in the aircraft with me, I just tell them, take your cap off, I'm going to pray. I just ask the Lord's blessing upon the airplane. I pray for the
airframe. I pray for the power, the motor. I pray for the alertness of the pilot, the whole nine yards. Lord, we just believe in safety. Da 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 da. You don't know how many times the tower will come back and go,
amen.
It's like whenever you talk on purpose, typically, you know, you're talking to, anyhow, I'm getting better at not whatever. Still happened just this last week. Amen, Pastor. And, okay, so as long as I maintain that, now, when I'm up there flying, any pilot, when a pilot's up there flying, let me ask you a question. Are we free? Come on, make a decision. Yeah, we're free. But is that freedom the absence of constraint? Mm-mm. In fact, to experience that kind of freedom, I submit myself to the constraints necessary to maintain a position of more lift and thrust than drag and gravity. And I have to always be aware, I need to stay in that position or we're going to come down. Now, coming down is not a bad thing, but when I come into land, what am I doing? I'm actually flip-flopping, aren't I? But I'm still operating freedom-wise because I'm in control. I mean, I'm in control of the process. So freedom for the believer. Next week, I'm going to talk about the price of freedom. But freedom for the believer, let's go on. This is a perfect example of what I just described to you from an airplane's perspective. If we die, verse 7. He who has died has been freed from sin. Really, another way that you could say that, he who has died, we'll just put it in another amplified version. He who has become a Christian, submitted their life to Jesus Christ, now has the potential to overcome the law of sin. Isn't that right? And reason I say potential is because you have to actuate the potential. You have to, on purpose, do something to overcome it. Okay? Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. In other words, right there, here's the thing. Paul says to the Roman church, he says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Notice he doesn't say, pretend, or let me restate that. Paul's not saying, sin no longer is an issue. What he's saying is, live free from the law of sin. In other words, what he's saying, be a pilot. Get in that Cessna, get in that Piper, whatever it may be. Get in that airplane and go up and enjoy everything that you can enjoy as a pilot. Amen? He's saying to us as believers, to the church, and I believe God wants all of us to ask ourselves this question. How much freedom in Christ are we experiencing on a daily basis? Or do we, if I could just say it this way, do we live our life as a Christian sitting at the end of the runway with the engine running and just sitting there in awe of the airplane but never experience the freedom of flight? Or do we head down the runway and let's just pretend that this runway has no end, okay? Because I think many Christians' lives look like this. There's something exciting about the ability to fly. Boy, it kind of can be scary every time. Somebody asked me a question here just a few days ago. I was going up to do a Civil Air Patrol deal. And they said, are you scared when you go up? I said, I wouldn't use the word scared. I said, the best way to say it is I realize the real effects of what could happen. And I'm going to be on my game every time. So that does that mean you're scared? No. I'm not scared because how many of you know that lack of knowledge brings fear? But the more knowledge you have on some, so no, it's like, no, I know this aircraft. I know what this aircraft's capabilities are. I know what it takes. And big picture, I know what it takes to overcome gravity and drag. And I know how to maintain that condition. I don't say that from a boastful standpoint. I just say it, it's like, no, I'm not afraid because I know. At the same time, I know that the choice that I'm making to get in an airplane and fly, I know that, how many of you know the risks are maybe a little bit higher? Let me say it another way. The consequences of the risk is a little bit higher. The risk driving a car is far greater than flying an airplane. But anyhow, it's like, no, but I'm on my game. It's not a haphazard, just flippant deal. So da, da, da. How many of you know that the Christian that doesn't take sin and his flesh seriously is one that's going to get bitten by both of them? Isn't that right? Let's go on and read what Paul says here. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, I say it another way, be free, that you should obey it in its lust. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Thank God for that. Say it. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Say it again. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Why? Because you're not under the law, but under grace. In other words, the law that we find ourselves able, not a given, able, the law that we find ourselves in Christ, able to walk in that, will overcome the law of sin and death. Thank God for that. That just simply means you can, as a believer, God's provided an aircraft for you that can overcome. And the manufacturer is God himself. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be bound to sin and death. Do you not know, verse 15, what shall we say then? Because we're under the law, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Isn't it interesting that Paul puts that together in that way? He says that whoever we present ourselves as slaves to. Now listen, you can't use the word slave and freedom in our understanding, typically, in the same deal. How can you be a slave and be free at the same time? In Christ we can. Isn't that right? So he says, it doesn't matter. If you present yourself as a slave to sin, then you will suffer, if I could say it, you will experience the consequences of what that law brings. But he says, whether it's to sin, then to unrighteousness. Whether it's to righteousness, then we get to experience the fruits of righteousness. That's where freedom in Christ becomes everything. So here's the thing, that it's just a great irony of words. The best way to become free in Christ is become the greatest slave of all. In other words, it's coming to the place that we accept all of the constraints that come in Christ. The instant you say that, people go, well, there you go. Christianity is just a list of don'ts. Oh, no. There are. You know what? We're wrong if we say there's no don'ts in Christ. Isn't that right? Aren't we told to don't sin, don't kill? Okay, but I understand what we're saying there. We just, well, let me just sit and ask you another question. Have you done any cross-country flights in God recently? Or do you just live your life doing touch-and-goes? How many of you don't have a clue what a touch-and-go is? Okay, touch-and-go is, this is a runway. There's not a little kid in here that has a little toy airplane with him, is there? Here's an airplane. Touch-and-go is, this is runway 26. Okay, we're going to touch-and-go. We're going to take off, climb up to pattern altitude. Here at Twin Falls, 5,000 feet. Okay, we're turning downwind. Right at this moment in time, we're getting configured to land. We're going to check GUMP. GUMP is an acronym, gas undercarriage mixture prop. Going to make sure our fuel's in the right spot. Our undercarriage means that our landing gear, if we have a retractable landing gear, it's down. Mixture, we want to make sure our mixture's rich. Okay, now we're coming here in prop. We're going to make sure our prop is in the right. Coming downwind, turning base. We're descending. Now we're coming final, and we touch and go. There's pilots. It's not a bad thing. That's the extent of their thrill. Now, that's quite a thrill. It really is. But you can do a touch and go here, Cessna 182. You can do a touch and go here probably in about 8 minutes. Okay? So stop and think about this. 8 minutes of their life on a day, if they do one touch and go, let's give them an hour. That's it. The rest of their week is bound by gravity. They stay on the ground the whole week. In fact, they only look forward to that one time that they get to experience freedom. Kind of the way some people do a touch and go on a Sunday morning. Ooh, they lifted their hands really high. They jumped a little bit.
Service is over. Taxi back. Spend the rest of their week on the ground. Hey, it's not bad. You can look forward to doing another touch. If we can do a touch and go this week, yeah, all right, cool. All right, whatever. But you know what? There's destinations that we can go to in Christ that are what's called a cross country, that you can get up and you can fly for, well, in a small aircraft, as long as you can hold it. A couple hours, you're going to have to do something probably. Figure it out. That's usually the biggest constraint in a small aircraft is, okay, we need to find a restroom, okay? So you can go and you can fly in places. And how many of you know that in our country, oh man, there's some beautiful valleys. There's some fly up to McCall. From here to McCall, a direct route from Twin Falls to McCall, you're going to see some of the prettiest country. Country that there's not very many humans that ever see. A whole bunch of different places. How many of you know that as a Christian, there's phenomenal places in Christ that we can go to? And instead of experiencing a touch and go, nothing. Listen, I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with a touch and go. In fact, you have to get good at touch and goes. Every pilot still does a touch and go. That's why it's important that as a Christian, if I'm going to use the analogy, you never ever get to the place that a touch and go / church is something you never do anymore. Because takeoff and landings is where? It's very interesting. Takeoff and landings is where over 70% of all accidents take place, is in takeoff and landings. Isn't that interesting for the Christian? Many of the wrecks that take place in Christian life could be avoided had they been a part of a local body to where that's where they do their home base. In fact, every time that a pilot files a flight plan, do you know what you have to put on your flight plan? Where's your home base? Where's your home base? Here it's Kilo Tango Whiskey Foxtrot. KTTWF is my home base. That's where I call home in the aviation side. How many of you know every Christian needs to have a home base? It's there that we practice our takeoff and landings. Why is that important? Because to go anywhere, you have to take off and you have to land. This is where we learn. This is where we learn. This is the discipline place that we come to. We learn new things here. This is the place, as a local body of believers, this is the place that we get our training, as it were. Okay, a couple more verses, then we'll go. 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. If I could just say it this way, we'll close with this. If I could just say it this way, when you become a Christian, you also become a pilot. It's granted to you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Think about that, literally. Put it in the four forms. Put it in the forms of gravity and drag, sin and flesh, or sin and death. When you become a Christian, God has granted you the ability by Him that you now have the tools to overcome both of those things. So our question is, how free are you? Have you been flying lately? And if you haven't, I encourage you, get good at the touch and goes. There's so much that goes on in a touch and go. That's why I wish people really would get, which is more than just Rob singing a few songs, somebody taking an offering, pastor, you know, pontificating for a while, right? And then saying amen and going. In fact, all the stuff that you do in a full circle take touch and go is virtually every skill you will need to do when you do a cross country. You learn it right here. Power settings change. Everything changes. Attitude changes. Attitude of the aircraft changes. Turning, steep turns, shallow turns, all sorts of stuff takes place in a touch and go. That's why, guys, it's important that we value what takes place at the local church deal, because it's what gives us the ability, the skills, the training, the whatever, then to go out and fly to those destinations that we'd like to fly to and experience the things that we'd like to fly to. Amen. And to really experience freedom in Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about the price of freedom, and we'll continue on.